relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. It's alternative sex tonight. It's a regular feature on Passion. You can ask questions about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, kinky sex, whatever it is you have questions. We have the experts here on the program. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here, and they are very open about talking about all kinds of things that has to do with kink. They were a couple that appeared on the show Kink, which many years ago, that was like a huge hit. I remember that show very much.
It goes fast. That's the whole thing.
It's like 10 years. Was it like 10 years ago?
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years ago. And I remember, like I even remember the episode. So I used to watch it. And yeah, so that was an eye-opener. So we're bringing kink to passion, to the airwaves instead. And maybe not as extreme as what you showed there, but we get to talk about all this stuff. And people have questions, you know. Kink has become, I don't know if that show did it in terms of mainstreaming a lot of it, but
probably helped. But kink in general, because of younger people being more open, more curious, it becomes more and more mainstream. And what we would call alternative stuff is now getting to be quite extreme.
Right. And you know what I think has done it is the videos.
Oh,
music videos.
Of course.
For sure.
Music videos, because they use a lot of leather or even latex.
Leather. You know? They use the symbols you have. Yeah, exactly.
God love Madonna.
She was probably the first, right? Do you remember her outfits
yeah,
with the boob things?
First.
Bra that was like... Yeah, I'm sure. 514-790-0991. Maybe she's the mother of kink.
Can
let's not go that far. 514-800. If you want to text us, you can as well. I have all kinds of questions I want to ask, but you know, you're free to ask whatever questions you have. So, okay, we know that even in the book I'm writing, I have a little section on BDSM or a little section on it's a chapter on stretching boundaries for couples that are over 50 that want to maybe explore different things, you know, kind of are a little bored in their usual stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of bringing it to a level that isn't maybe as extreme as what you guys practice, but things that they could do. And one of the premises of what you guys do or the whole BDSM thing, the scene is role playing. And anybody can role play. It doesn't have to be kinky role play, but just role playing in general.
Having fun.
Yeah, it's like
Absolutely. It's
putting on an act, putting on a play, putting on directing. I call it like directing your own erotic play, you know?
Sure, and it's very interesting because when we talk to people and we'll kind of help them to get around to doing the role playing, most people say, you know, I feel so silly only at first. You know, just get a few lines in there and you talk back and forth and pretty soon it's really fun to be somebody else. I think a big reason is because they can let go of those inhibitions.
Right.
It's not them anymore. It's
character.
It's right? That naughty girl at the Dupinar.
Right, right. Or Superman.
Yeah,
your superhero. You know?
Absolutely.
We're talking about role play. For many people, they're trying, you know, getting that new skin is very, very... it's freedom for them, and it's one of the thing that is really important in BDSM or exchange of power or fetishes, because they take that new skin and everything is permitted. There's no boundary,
right?
You know, and for some people that's really, really important.
That's what they need, right? They need a space, a safe space where they can actually have.
Yeah,
I mean, because you say no boundaries, but there are lots of boundaries.
Right.
They're pushing their own boundaries by being in the role of someone else. And
Absolutely.
And that happens more than anything in BDSM play. It would have to, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and part of that I'm thinking of, you know, when I think of the dominant, the submissive, and you think about a lot of the men who end up wanting to be in very submissive roles and be dominated are usually men, I don't know if they're usually, but
often.
My experience has been that they are men who, in real life, are very dominant.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
They, a lot of the times, they just want to not be the boss anymore, not be the father, not be the husband, not be all in control and the person's everybody going to. They only want to just do as they're told, relax, and somebody else takes care of it. Someone else is directing.
That sounds like a lot of women who may want that too.
It's absolutely.
Because they're often directing things. Well, you know.
But often the woman wants it in a different way for different reasons. For women, and it's old-fashioned, you're going to tell me, but remember the old 50s relationship where the man would work and the woman would take care of the kid?
And clean the house and prepare his slippers and his food.
Yeah,
and,
but many women dream about that lifestyle. And I know now it's in 2013, it's like,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
But there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle if that's what you want. But I know what it is. It's a simpler lifestyle.
Yes.
Because you don't have to think so much. Like these women, they knew their place. They knew their role. They knew their place. It was like, today we rebel against that completely.
Yes and no, because I believe there's an art to being a good housewife. There really is. I mean, that's back when they, you know, do their own canning and pickling and grew their stuff and all of that. But
shoot,
I mean, that
me
alone,
now.
Well, that's because you're working.
I know.
I mean, you work more than I think anybody I know, right? Every day.
But some women want this. They need this because, like you said, it's a simpler life. You work in an office. There's always the office politics, you know, the traffic to go there. You have to prepare the kids in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like this, it's so much simpler for, and some men want this, believe it or not. They want the woman to take care of them.
Right. Just let's all go back to some simpler times. Let's just pretend, though, just for a day.
Well,
it may not happen every day, but.
But you can, for an evening or a night, say, tonight, the regular rules are gone, and here's the new rules. You're the boss. I'm the boss. I'm the prisoner. You're the guard.
It's
whatever.
True. Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. And that's exactly. That's exactly it, right? That's what role playing is all about. Letting go.
And it's fun because you change, you change the way things happen. You know, it's so easy to have, you know, always the same sex. You know, okay, go in your bag, go in your belly, go do this, and you know, and it's done. I mean, there's more.
Especially
to sex.
If you've been with somebody for a number of years, you know, as wonderful as regular intercourse is, I can't imagine only doing that. It gets boring.
To do the same thing over and over again.
You're great, honey. But
it's not.
Just,
yeah, you need to. There are things you need to do.
I want a bit more variety.
Well, role playing is also a way to do it so that you don't even have to go outside of your relationship. In other words, you don't have to include
Absolutely.
Anybody else.
Exactly.
Just do it between
not
the two of you.
Okay, if you dream about having sex with this rock and roll guy or this rock and roll goddess, you mm-hmm. know, you do it. But it's your wife who's dressed.
That's right.
Or your
I knew
husband.
A couple. This is fun. I knew a couple who used to do this regularly. They used to go to a bar separately.
Yes.
So she used to sit at the bar.
And he would pick her up.
And he would pick her up, you know? And it was this whole pickup seduction thing and then making out in the back and, you know, like all, just like it was in the beginning, you know, 30 years before.
Nothing wrong with that.
You'd be amazed how many couples will do where, you know, they'll go and get Kentucky Fried Chicken and she's naked under a coat.
and just to do the little...
It's like, right. You know, and they come home and she's discovered. And, oh, it's really fun. Because you know what, too? It's sometimes when people have needs that they're uncomfortable with, it's a way of fulfilling those needs without even coming out to your partner and saying it directly all the time. You
right.
know, somebody might be embarrassed because they want to be spanked. I mean,
right.
they'll think, what's the matter with me?
Right.
Whereas, you know, if they're of course we're talking adults here, but if they're role playing as a naughty schoolgirl,
mm-hmm.
well then it's okay then.
Right,
I mean,
right.
you
if
know.
You play if it's within the role and of
exactly.
the play that
yes.
you're performing, which is great. We're talking kink tonight. It's alternative sex once a month. Pierre and Catherine join us of BDSM Circle. So if you have any questions for them, you can give us a call, 514-790-0991. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program. We should let this play a little bit. I just realized, yeah, Brad does pick the right songs. I should let him. We should hear what he's using, right?
Can we dance?
You can dance. Let's all dance. Alternative Sex tonight. That's the voice of Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. And we're talking kink. We're talking about BDSM. We're talking about role play. All the things that are alternative outside of the mainstream, outside of vanilla, when you stretch your boundaries just a little. So somebody texted in, and maybe you guys can weigh in on this, and you've met lots of people. Why does my wife think that oral sex is a chore? Do most women feel like that? I'm thinking before we even answer that is that we throw this out to women who, and I want women to text in and let us know, what do most women feel like oral sex is a chore? So 514-800, and we'll do like an unofficial little poll here. And I would have to say, from women I've spoken to, and you know, it's been years in the field and what have you, is that it's not that it's so much a chore, but it takes work, you know, especially because it's one-sided.
Exactly.
And there's something, you know, it's very different when it is part of foreplay, when it is involved, when you're doing me, I'm doing you, you know, there's an exchange. But when it's just, you know, the whole thing about
one-sided,
it's one-sided and may feel like servicing, which is like a chore, right? So
yep,
that equals that. That might be, I hear that quite
and
a bit.
I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
That most people, most women.
But again, could it be the context? Because when, let's say I have a female sub at home,
mm-hmm.
this is one of the chores that they have to do something.
But if that's her, if her kink is to be submissive, and that's
exactly,
and that's what what she gets turned on because you're ordering her around to do whatever it is. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as she has to follow through on whatever it is that you tell her mm-hmm. to do, because that's her kink. That's how she gets off.
Yeah.
But for a woman who's not into kink and not into being submissive, maybe that's what she's resisting, is that position that it has put her in.
Yeah, if you have someone who's naturally dominant, the women, when I've spoken to other a female dominant,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's exactly it.
What? Just
that they don't like to be, I mean, a dominatrix doesn't necessarily like to be on her knees in front of a man.
Okay. So the fact that she's at maybe
kind of
a dominating.
Like a role reversal.
And despite what you see in movies, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Which isn't really realistic,
nope.
right?
No, most of the time it's not. It's just a reason to have a porn, you know, being filmed or something like this. They need some type of action. Because if I can tell you something, I have talked to men who ask their dominatrix, you know, to do things like this, and they regret it.
Sure, they get a spanking for that one.
Oh, if it was just a spanking.
Okay. 514-790-0991 or 514-800 if you want to text in. You could answer that question. Do most women feel like that, like it is a chore? We are talking about alternative stuff here, stretching the boundaries of sexuality. Okay, one of the questions I have here is, and we've talked about BDSM being a need for some people, mm-hmm. like you may feel drawn to it, not really knowing why, but you're drawn to it. You meet somebody else who maybe is not in that circle and doesn't have that need. What do you do? How do you address that? What if you bring it up and the other person's really not comfortable with it? What if, to the extreme, not only are they not comfortable with it, it is a complete turnoff to them?
Yeah, and you know, we talk to a lot of people and that's just the case. And we get that is one of probably the most common question that we get written to us on our site. And you know what? It's about compromise. Couples will deal with it in different ways. Sometimes I've actually had wives send their husband and say, do you know, can he be submissive to you? I have friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
She's submissive. He's a switch. And so I actually dom him. and with all her blessings. She's very, very happy. He gets his needs fulfilled, and it's great.
But what if there is no going outside of the relationship?
What most people do is they'll talk, they'll compromise. You know, they'll do a bit of role-playing. Maybe it's not so much fun for them, but they'll find, you know, a way to do it where they're not repulsed.
Right, that's the key, is you don't want to be repulsed by your own partner, right?
Really, exactly. Or they say, you know what, I'm not going to get off on it tonight, but tomorrow we're going to do this, and that's what I really like.
Right.
And I mean, it's compromise.
Right.
Because I don't really believe that you can change somebody and suddenly they like it. You can expose it to them, you know, slowly, go slow for one thing. And you know, sometimes you might awaken something, but I think it was like something was already there.
I have to add something on this. BDSM is based on consensuality, okay? People decide, they accept to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you force your partner, being your wife or your husband, to do something like this, it's no longer BDSM, it's abuse. I mean...
Yeah, that's right.
Well said.
The negotiation is not just important, it's the basis of everything. If your wife or your husband doesn't want to do it, you cannot force them to do it.
Right.
It's not sane, it's not...
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy.
You said it. It's abuse. And I have seen that situation where a woman has done things because her husband has wanted. So has brought people into the relationship, has made her do things. And she didn't say no. She showed no. She didn't actually consent. But submission is not consent. Submitting to your partner's manipulation
we see that's not BDSM.
No, it's not that, but I think it's important
exactly.
that we make the distinction that in a situation like that, that's clearly abusive.
Yep.
You have to be two people willing
and
perfectly willing
and negotiating.
Right, to do this.
Because it's the basis of everything. I have a bit of a problem here to tell you my mind. It's just some people, they don't get this. They think BDSM is about breaking the other one. And for me, I have a huge problem. We see sometimes on people saying, I'm going to break you into submission. It's like,
no. Right.
You know?
Yeah. You got to love me into submission.
That's stuff for books. That's stuff for
that's
fantasy.
More
stuff. Right.
But you know what? If you want to do that, have a safe word.
That's right. Do it safely. Well, and we'll talk about safety coming up too. Alternative sex tonight on Passion. You can join in by text or by telephone here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program. Once a month, Pierre and Catherine join us from BDSMCircle.com, a website that offers so much information, everything you need to know about the kink lifestyle, whether you're just starting or whether you're a seasoned pro at this. They offer tons of information. How many pages on your website now?
Well, okay, that's a bit technical because we have so many pages and we have ads and we have over 1,000 pages.
Oh, my God.
And some people tell us sometimes you should change the look of your pages. Yeah, it's a beautiful idea, but we don't have time to do this on the 1,000
pages. They do work. So no, but it's chock full of information. So people can search any topic on there and there it is.
And we try to add every time we can, you know, because things are changing. There's some fashion things sometimes. We try to add more, but it takes a lot of research. Remember, the site is bilingual. So when we said in French, what we write in French, we write in English. When we write in English,
that's pretty amazing that you guys do that simultaneously all the time.
It's
you know?
A lot of work.
You're very politically correct.
well, you know what? I'm English and he's French.
I know. It wouldn't work otherwise, would it, if you didn't do it that way? And by the way, at CJD.com, if you go to the Passion page, my latest blog is about role-playing, so it's there. And you can also tune in. I did do an interview last week with a company called the Fantasy Box, which is it's a company out of the U.S., and they send you a box every month with some toys, like props and cards with...
Yeah.
You know, your role and whatever, so that you don't have to come up with it. They come up with it for you and they ease you into things.
Cute. I think it's a great idea.
It is a great idea. I loved it. You guys should connect, actually. Put you on each other's site. But that really... I did an interview with them, so you can always look up the podcast. So coming up, I do want to talk about safety, because this always comes up. People wonder about this, you know, how do you do this safety? What's not safe? Like, what are some activities that aren't safe? If you're doing stuff at home, what shouldn't you do in terms of, you know, if you're going to use ropes, if you're going to use blindfolds and all that stuff? We're going to do that on the other side of the news. But I know there's a lot to cover, and I covered some of that stuff also in one of the chapters in the book, that there's some things that you have to really be aware of. Like, there's some important tips. So those are going to come back with us. Pierre and Catherine will talk to us about that. They are from BDSMCircle.com. And your questions, always welcome here at 514-790-0991 or text us at 514-800. I'm Dr. Lori Battito, and you're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program. Pierre and Catherine are here from BDSMCircle.com. If you have questions for them, you can give us a call, 514-790-0991, or you can text at 514-800. I want to talk about safety, because this is a big issue. I know it sounds like to people that it would have to be extreme to be dangerous, but little things. There's a lot of things that could be... It could be potentially quite dangerous.
Absolutely. Something as simple as gagging somebody who has allergies and might plug up their nose.
Right.
Something like that somebody might not think of. You know, right. Any other time of the year, it's fine, but, you know.
And what if they gag them that way and also bind their arms? They can't undo their gag, and, you know,
have a signal. It might be crossing the eyes. Maybe they're holding keys. If they're in a quiet environment, they're going to drop to the floor.
Has to be a signal.
Absolutely,
a safe word. It could be a safe word, but if you're gagged, you cannot. So a set of keys that you drop on the floor, on the hard floor, it's a good signal, you know, or a ball. Some people would use like ping pong ball because it would go like poop, 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 you know.
Right. But it has to be an agreed upon signal. You cannot just decide to blindfold and gag someone and not do any and not have that signal.
Well, not unless you're a maniac and you want to hurt the person by mistake.
New people who are trying this, that's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
You educate. So
yes,
this
but
is the whole,
that's
yeah.
the whole point. Some people will try things without doing any research. They're asking for trouble. I mean, it's like you want to climb a mountain, you get some pieces of rope and stuff, and you try to climb a mountain with this with no study of what is mountain climbing, you're going to kill yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing in alternative sex.
One of the things, too, is people will play when they're under the influence.
Oh.
So, you know, to loosen them up a little bit, they'll have a few drinks. And that's the last time you should be playing something like that or playing BDSM.
So definitely you shouldn't be drinking and doing this kind of thing. Or drugs, right.
You know, because, you know, you're not at your best. You're not controlling the situation if you're not 100% in control of yourself. And that's really what it's about.
Right.
And you also have to, people will say, oh, you know, we don't need safe words. Well, if part of your play may be, no, don't do that to me. And you really want the dom to kind of push you and no, you have to. Well, you'd better have arranged something.
Right. Some other word that's not no. Yeah.
That's it. Because
exactly.
Sometimes no can be part of the play.
Right.
And so it can be very dangerous. There's a lot of things, you know, BDSM really isn't something to be done on the spur of the moment. And people hate when I say that. But, you know, research, read, check it out. There's safe ways and there's unsafe ways of doing everything. Something as simple as wax play.
Okay, which,
let's talk about that.
But here I have to talk to you about this. Doing research doesn't mean to take a picture and say, well, they do it on the picture, so I can do it.
Right.
No, because in the picture, sometimes it's a play, it's a show. So do the real research. You find an article, find another article that says the same thing.
Cross-reference it. In non-pay sites.
I will never forget when I attended a sexuality conference years ago in Miami, and it's one of these guys that you know, Jay Wiseman, yeah, who wrote a book. And I attended his workshop called SM 101. I had no idea what to expect. I don't practice it, so I really had no idea. And I was amazed. He did like a 3-hour workshop on safety, on all the different, you know, things that are part of BDSM and how to do it safely. And it never, only when I saw that, did it occur to me that, holy crap, like you, if you get a hold of some of these stuff, you could really do some damage if you don't know how to do this properly.
And there's people who do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know what, I've been brought to tears when you know, you'll hear of a husband that's hurt his wife and it was a role play and you know, now she's having physiotherapy for 3 years. I mean, this kind of thing happens.
Yep.
The one thing that I'll say is stay away from breath play.
Breath play, you better explain that. What does that mean?
Breath play is where it might be something as simple as a hand over the mouth and nose for a bit.
Okay. Or suffocation play is what you call it.
Yes. It's another name. Yeah.
Okay. Asphyxiation play.
Yes, exactly. Okay. In BDSM, usually
breath play. Well, that's a very nice way of saying it. But in my world, it's asphyxiation, you know, a little more dangerous than that.
And that's really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
It's also, know your toys, buy a decent quality equipment.
Oh.
People will go out, they go to the sex shop, they see this little flog thing, and oh, that looks fun, and they start using it, and you know, a staple is going to come out and go into their and like, you know, all sorts
things
of things
you don't
like that.
Think about, yeah.
Well, sure, buy quality. It's better to have less that's quality than tons of stuff.
That are dangerous.
You know.
Same thing when you buy something for bondage. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If you buy some type of cuff that you cannot undo because they're too cheap after a while, mm-hmm. you're in trouble. Or handcuff that are so cheap that the key doesn't fit after that. I mean,
so we're talking about like novelty things, right? You know how they're sold. Like novelty things are sold like that, and
they're for a laugh at a bridal shower, for God's sakes. And past that, they have no use. You know, a little prop in the, you know. In a role play before you really get at it, you wave them in front of her, and that's, you know, the pink handcuffs, and then put them on the bed and do something else.
You were talking about bondage safety too. There's some type of ropes that you can buy, some type of ropes that you must never ever use.
Mm-hmm.
People buy bungee at the dollar store.
Yeah, and they use that?
And
Oh gosh, they use everything.
So you've heard everything is what you're telling
that's
me.
That's a problem, yeah.
Let's hear from Chris on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are
Chris.
Hi.
It's an interesting and hilarious conversation, in fact.
Hilarious?
I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not much of a kinky guy myself, but I tend to keep finding women that like to be choked.
Really?
And for me personally, I find it very offensive. You know, I don't want to get down to that point, you know. Then it's like, choke me harder. Like, what are you talking about? I don't want to be choking you.
I don't want to hurt you.
I don't want to hurt you. Like, your face is going to turn blue, you know? Like, come on. And so, I don't understand what the obsession with most people that needs to get into this kinky or desirable state. Like,
well, for some people, when they get to climax, if there's a restriction of oxygen that goes to the brain, supposedly, supposedly, the climax is a lot more stronger.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's true, because if you missed it or
disagree.
You crush the pipe.
That's the thing, is that there's a whole danger, you know, with autoerotic asphyxiation or erotic asphyxiation. That's a whole, you know, people have died from that. And so let's say you do choke her and you lose, like, you don't know how much to do or whatever. You don't know what, I mean, that you could kill her.
While I'm doing that, there's no way in heck I'm getting any pleasure, because I'm concentrating too much if I'm choking her too hard or
exactly.
You know,
I would hope so.
Cold shower.
Because it is a really dangerous type of play.
So why is it?
You know,
Catherine,
it's kind of in fad right now.
It is?
It is.
With the young adult.
With,
why is it
20
in fad?
20-somethings.
I'll have to agree with that.
It's extreme. It's extreme.
It's they feel they're so extreme. It's like, oh, and there's so many other ways to get those feelings out.
I bet you there must be a video somewhere. There must be a music video that triggered that. I bet you.
More than one, probably.
We got to find that.
Because choking the women, it's a domination
It's a very
gesture.
Sure, and this is what Chris is saying. I don't want to do that to you. I'm not interested
in... If that's the case, Chris, you know, I would try a dominance, you know, subtly in other ways. That they could be even trying to tell you that, you know, they want you to take charge and really, you know, take them instead of just making love. And And you know what? Maybe just a little rougher, just a little bit.
Maybe that's what they're asking for.
I would agree with
yeah.
you, but it's not just one. It's been several, and it's like
the
genre of type of women that I see.
Maybe.
I've gone to the bookworm ones to even the ones that have
the quiet
been the
ones, huh?
ones, you know, and they've all been the same way. And I'm like, the first one who was the bookworm and she asked me to do that, I was dumbfounded. I was like, what do you mean? Like, no.
To me, it's a little weird when a partner asks you to do something without talking about it first, without saying, by the way, this is something I enjoy. How do you feel about that? What, you know, that it's like you're in the thrust of it and say, choke me. It's like, what? That doesn't work. I totally agree with you, Chris, on this one. Thanks so much for calling
no
and
go.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Bye-bye. That was a great question. I mean, something's going on here. Maybe we should, something's
this
happening
This is what
here.
I was saying, but it's not to be done at the spur of the moment. You need to talk about these things.
Oh, yeah.
You need to
research. To research, prepare.
That's a really dangerous form of play. And I don't think they actually realize that it's not just that, you know, she's going to pass out. You can cause brain damage here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. You can, you know. Absolutely. Someone wants to know. First of all, I just want to say Michael texted in about another question unrelated to this, something to do with a diabetes, which I cannot answer you right now because you talk about a condition that I don't know about, which I will find out when we have I don't know if you've ever heard of azoospermia. Okay. I know it sounds – that's how he's calling it, so we're going to – I'll just leave it at that and get a better answer because I'm not going to even attempt to answer that. But coming up, someone asked about chastity for men, like placing a penis in a cage so the woman has control over his release. And is that a form of BDSM? So I want you to think about that. And we're going to answer that question. A penis cage, does that exist? We will find out when Passion continues with Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com here on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. We've been talking about safety, and actually Chris brought up one of our callers, the whole choking thing, or asphyxiation basically is what it's all about. And Pierre was just telling me off air that people have, you know, well-known people have died from at least autoerotic asphyxiation. David Carradine, you said, was one of them, right? I remember that story years back.
The singer from INXS, I mean, a few years ago.
Right. So, I mean, this has happened. This is a real danger. Of course, it's more dangerous when you're alone and you're doing it because there's nobody there to undo whatever it is you're doing. But at the same time, it's still dangerous. And we were trying to think or figure out, why is this like en vogue, you know? Like, what's going on that this is part of the
media.
Culture and media? And Rick actually says that it was in a Wesley Snipes, Michael Douglas film. So I'm not sure which one that was, but I guess many movies where that is. So let's answer the question about penises in a cage and what that's all about.
Well, that is come under BDSM.
Okay.
It's under what is called CBT, which to the lifestyler is called cock and ball torture.
Okay.
To you would be
cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm not making the same mistake this time.
Not the same thing.
Right.
And I have several at home. You can either be a metal or a plastic cage that is shaped like a penis.
Oh, okay.
That usually will lock so that it can't come off. It's usually something that can still be peed through.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's important if
it comes
up.
So. Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, especially
you
if you're,
blow
you know,
your bladder.
You want to be locked up all day.
Right.
Often the only way you can put this is when they're not, and the penis is not erect, because you want to, there's a word for
this.
Oh, you want
to constrict it.
Yeah, there's a word for this.
Yes, because if they start to get hard on.
I think they call it.
Or an erection.
Uh-huh.
It will actually start to become slightly painful.
Well, sure, if they're pushing up against metal.
Yes.
I can imagine it doesn't feel too good.
And so that's part of it. I mean, there's many different models.
Are there? Okay.
Most of them lock. Most of the ones that will have that kink, they'll call the mistress or the dominant the key holder.
Okay.
And the idea is that they have literal control over their sexuality and their chastity.
Okay. So it is a chastity belt.
Yes.
For very men, popular, yes, among men.
Very popular.
It's a fantasy that many have.
Really?
And there's company making a fortune with this. They have all kind of...
CB2000?
Oh, yeah. It's someone we hear often about.
This is common, you're telling me?
Yeah, pretty common in
some
BDSM.
Some of them are quite expensive, too.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Look at that. Chastity belts for men. Common. Wow. Okay.
Yep. For some.
Getting back to the question that somebody had asked about oral sex and, do most women think it's a chore? So I got a text message. I don't know who texted it, but it's a very good point. Samantha from Sex and the City. I don't know if you did you ever watch that? Accurately described the reality of giving oral sex to her funky tasting spunk lover who thought BJs were easy to give. She says, "You men have no idea what we're dealing with down there. Teeth placement and jaw stress and suction and gag reflex and all the while bobbing up and down, moaning and trying to breathe through our noses. Easy, honey, they don't call it a job for nothing."
Well said.
And I do remember that episode. Thanks for, like, word for word, he texted
beautiful
us. So that was really nice. Thank you very much. And that was probably how most women feel, you know, pretty
at times, at least.
At times,
sure.
Yes, exactly. Which is why, yes, it takes some work. It's not that they don't necessarily enjoy pleasing their partner. But
I'm starting to feel like, as a man, I should defend the point right now.
And what do you want to say?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for the guy to describe how it is, the work for on the women's side.
Oh.
How much work is it for him? I haven't heard a guy describe that yet. Let's see if anybody's willing to.
Well, you know, I think sometimes it takes a lot more work for a woman to have an orgasm than a man.
It takes more time and focus. Yes, absolutely.
So I'm sure that there's lots of men out there that will think that, my God, I have to just keep going until she finally comes. I'm sure.
Well, let's hear from guys. I don't know. We'll see what they think. It's an interesting discussion, actually. I don't think we've ever had this discussion on the program. 514-790-0991. When you guys get on this program, we talk about really like the down and dirty. Eh? It's like it can get extreme, but that's okay.
Well,
that's
okay.
Fun. Absolutely.
Kids should be in bed by now.
That's right. The kids should be in bed by now, not listening to the program. Exactly, exactly,
exactly.
If you
have a child sitting there, turn us off.
That's right. Turn us off. 514, good point. When we do have, like, at the beginning of the show, you know, this is for adults only,
yeah,
kind of
for
thing.
Sure.
514-790-0991. You can also text us at 514-800. More with Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. We're having a fun discussion, all kinds of things. Chris says, I'd call back in and answer you, but your show isn't long enough. Talking about description of, we talked about the description of what women would say about giving men oral sex. What would men say about giving women oral sex? And is it as much of a chore for men as it is for women? Interesting. Some people are right. Two people actually wrote the same thing. Can I just have to?
Oh, yeah.
It says oral on women, Venus butterfly, only time consuming. Once you get past the odor, you got it licked. Two people wrote the same thing, by the way. Two different people,
that's
two
crazy
different numbers. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So it must be a joke that I'd never heard. I don't know. And someone says, you can always do a 67. She does me and I will owe her. Okay.
That's just 2 cents.
Yeah, exactly. The 2 cents. So someone asked also about subspace. What is subspace? What does that mean?
No, you go, love. You go.
Okay. Well, not everybody in the lifestyle will actually agree about it. Some people will just think that the feeling of being submissive, enjoying being told orders or kind of like reveling in that is subspace.
Like submissive space.
But lifestyles, when people have been around for a while, well, it's actually the endorphins that the body will give off. Mm-hmm. And it's originated in response to pain and kind of the fight and flight. If you're running,
it's in the brain. So you're talking about runner's high. You're talking about something that's going on in your brain, the space in your brain. Then,
no, I'm not. I'm actually that's what some people think it is, but it's actually a physical
reaction
that you get endorphins. This is from a prolonged play. Mm-hmm. Usually where the body's under stress, not too much. In kind of vanilla life, it's what's called a runner's high. Usually marathon runners will get it, where they get this feeling of euphoria at some point. Mm-hmm, and it allows them to keep running, even when your body's tired.
Right.
And if a dom is particularly skilled, during a S&M play, they can bring this feeling on for the submissive. And basically what it takes is that you'll say to people, oh, yeah, those two swats made me get into endorphins. Oh, no, it didn't. Right? It has to be a prolonged stress. And you have to be very careful when you're doing a prolonged stress on a person. It's not something that a new dom should try.
So really it is about what the submissive space creates in terms of your body. The reactions in your body.
No, this is actually, no, sorry.
The real suspense is a chemical reaction.
It's a physical reaction.
I'm just trying to figure out where the word comes from, like why subspace? So it's a space in your head. It's a space.
Well,
like, why the space?
Well, it's okay. They're talking about the feelings that you get from endorphins.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out why the word, like the logic of the
and
word,
also
right?
There's something actually called dom space.
Oh,
now
really?
A dom space is when you're feeling all big and powerful and you're whipping away that you don't get carried away and you're in your dom space. You're feeling really strong and dominant.
So you're in your dom space. So there's something about you're in your dom space. Okay.
Sure. But that's different than a sub space.
Last 2 cents. I really enjoy going down on a woman, but I find there are a lot of women that I have come across that just don't like oral at all. Interesting. So those are the last words. Thank you guys once again for being on the program.
Always a pleasure.
We'll catch up with you again in September. And thanks to all of you for all your interesting, very interesting comments tonight.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.